What's up? It's Shelby with Books, Books, and Crime, and it's Craft and Storytime again. I'm working on that, you know, cat granny square that I've been working on. I'm finally crocheting the backside. Since I've never done this before, I'm going off the amount of stitches from, like, all the granny squares now that I've sewed them together. I'm going off all the stitches, and that's what I've chained here, so I'm assuming, you know, hopefully it stretches and it works out well. This is my first time with a pillow and with like a granny square pillow. So wish me luck on that. All right, let's get to it though with the story because I still need to get my workout in and it's the 4th of July. Yay, fireworks everywhere. Yeah, so I have some plans with my kids. It's raining out here. It's a gloomy 4th of July, that's for sure, but I'm not in the country anymore, so fireworks weren't really on the to-do list today. Well, at least us popping fireworks. But we're going to go watch some later today, so I'm excited for that. I'm hoping my babies behave, or, you know, it'd be nice if they're awake. If they're asleep, though, I'll take it, because my daughter, like, something woke her up last night, like around 10:30. And she didn't go back to sleep till 1 in the morning. So that was pretty rough. I mean, it was cool because I got to watch Dune 2. But, yeah, not the best. I did get to sleep to 8:30 for once, though. So, I guess, you know. I'm complaining, but I'm not. But I also don't want to be up till 1 again. I'm an old lady now. I can't do it. I don't know how I did it when I was younger, that's for sure. But, yeah, hard pass. Okay, so. And again. Sorry, I just want to say, if you like this, you know, like, share, subscribe, you know, again, work in progress, I'm getting there, guys, and I'm hoping my storytelling is getting better, and I'm hoping I'm coming off more conversational and everything, but even that, who cares, let's move on. Okay, so, we are, what am I talking about? That's not how the story's starting. It's not starting with us. Okay. It's April 26th, 2009, and Heather Stroob is actually on her way to the Target in the busy shopping center. Actually, it's pretty quaint. We're in Snellville, Georgia, which is one of the surrounding areas of Atlanta, Georgia. From what I've seen, it's very pretty. It's very green, which I love. So she's actually on her way to Target to pick up her son from her ex-husband, Steven Stroob. Her son, you know, it's her ex-husband's visitation. Well, soon to be ex-husband, they are going through a divorce. So she meets up with her ex-husband there. They exchange her son, or their son, Carson. Carson is secured into the car seat. Steven, you know, drives away off into his life. And after that exchange happens, while Heather is, you know, still getting everything situated to get in the car and leave, a stranger shows up. And this stranger, as described in by witnesses, it's a very odd-looking person. It's clearly wearing a clearly fake mustache, with this poofy hair. And they're pointing a gun at Heather. And they shoot her. They shoot Heather right in the head, and they leave, and Heather dies there next to the car, and Carson's there waiting. What's scary about this is 6 o'clock in the evening, and it's broad daylight. It's broad daylight in a public place. People witnessed this whole thing. People saw all of it happen. It's not like they had heard a gunshot, and they weren't sure where it came from. They saw this whole thing, which is just horrific. And also a really ballsy move, that's for sure. It takes balls to just walk up to someone and shoot them in a parking lot like that in the middle of the day while everybody's still shopping. So police arrive because, I mean, they're getting calls left and right by these witnesses. And they tell them everything that they saw. You know, they witnessed the exchange of Carson. They noted that there wasn't any argument or anything like that. No bad blood or nothing negative happened during the exchange. You know, it was pretty quick. They saw her ex-husband drive off, And then the shooter appeared and shot Heather. What they were able to tell about the police is that it was a man, it was a white male who shot Heather. But they said that he was a very tiny man. He was a very small person. And this man, again, had the mustache, which was pretty obvious that it was fake. But they said that his hair was poofy, like this black poofy hair. They said he had weird hair. And the composite of this, they get a composite sketch of it, and the composite sketch is weird. It's ugly. I'm just going to be honest. It's ugly. I hate to say it, I can't be the only one who feels this way when I see a composite of a murderer and it's like this ugly face. For some reason, it's even scarier. Not because it's an ugly person, but just some of the way these things are drawn. Of course, we know that composites aren't exact, but like, look, just look at this. I mean, you see what I mean? I don't want to come off like I'm hating on ugly people or something. I know I'm not some prize piece myself, but yeah, like you saw for yourself what I'm getting at. So that's the composite, and that's who they're looking for. Luckily, best thing about Target, what do we know about Target? Big stores like this, they have CCTV, they have cameras outside their properties. So police are able to pull the cameras from Target. The only issue is their cameras are the types that oscillate. I don't know if oscillate only refers to fans, but you know, they're on a turn. They aren't just facing a certain area and covering that area the whole time. So what they see is they're able to corroborate what witnesses were saying. They see that Heather is parked outside Target, and she's parked towards the back, you know, making herself easier to find for Steven because she's not there to shop. And they see Steven's green minivan pull up, which is also corroborated. The witnesses say that's what he was driving. He pulls up, the exchange happens, and the camera covers him leave. Well, the camera doesn't cover the exchange, but it does see him pull in, and it sees him leaving. And the only problem is, like, and that's it. There's another camera that's closer. They see in the camera, they're able to see the shooter step out real quick. And as soon as the shooter steps out, the camera pans away. So they don't get to see the murder itself. And by the time the camera pans back, the shooter's gone. They literally just shot left. That's what's sad, is it was such a lucky shot, because that one shot is what killed Heather. I mean, it was just like that. It was over. It's terrible. Even sadder is they shot this woman right in front of her son. I understand her son was 18 months old. He doesn't know what's going on. But as a mother myself, all I can picture is this woman dying and her son just sitting in the car seat. I don't know if he's crying. I don't know if he's just looking around, but it's Georgia, so it's 8. I'm assuming I'm in Texas. It gets hot here. I don't doubt that Georgia gets pretty warm in April. And this little boy's just sitting there and his mom's dead next to him. It's just terrible. So there is another camera, but it takes a while to get that footage. But in the meantime, as they're trying to grasp all of this, of course, the first person that gets questioned is Steven, it's her ex-husband, or soon-to-be ex-husband. So a little background on them is Steven and Heather met back in high school, or when Heather was in high school. She was 16. They actually met through church, and they date for a few years, and they get married in 2004. And, you know, they get married in 2004. Carson is born in 2007. But unfortunately, and they really do say the first year with the baby makes or breaks a family. I'm not saying that's the case here, but it could be, because instead of being a happy family and being together, that next year after Carson's born in 2008, Heather finds out that Steven is actually having an affair. He's dating another woman. Not very Christian-like of you, Steven. And not very husbandly. I'm disappointed. So, this leads to a separation while a divorce is being proceeded. And like, you know, what we see all the time, murder or not, just with divorce, a custody battle takes place. And it seems to be that this custody battle gets quite intense. There's a lot of ugliness. They both really, really want custody of Carson.
So
So
it
it
gets to
gets to
the
the
point
point
where
where
they
they cannot
cannot exchange
exchange
Carson
Carson
without
without
words
words
being
being
exchanged.
exchanged.
I
I
don't
don't
know
know
who's
who's
the
the
aggressor.
aggressor.
I'm
I'm
sure
sure
both
both
of
of
them
them
probably
probably
played
played
a
a
part
part
in
in
it.
it.
It's
It's
a
a
lot
lot
of
of
feelings
feelings
involved.
involved.
There's
There's
betrayal,
betrayal,
there's
there's
hurt
hurt
for
for
all
all
we
we
know.
know.
Maybe
Maybe
Steven's
Steven's
feeling
feeling
guilt.
guilt.
And
And
Heather's
Heather's
hurt.
hurt.
You
You
don't
don't
get
get
the
the
sympathy
sympathy
when
when
someone's
someone's
in
in
pain.
pain.
And
And
rightfully
rightfully
so,
so,
she
she
just
just
had
had
a
a
baby
baby
and
and
you
you
turned
turned
your
your
back
back
on
on
her.
her.
Now,
Now,
this
this
is
is
what
what
led
led
to
to
the
the
exchanges
exchanges
being
being
at
at
Target
Target
in
in
a
a
public
public
place,
place,
because
because
it
it
meant
meant
basically
basically
both
both
would
would
be
be
on
on
their
their
best
best
behaviors.
behaviors.
There
There
wouldn't
wouldn't
be
be
as
as
much
much
shouting
shouting
or
or
anything
anything
because
because
you
you
don't
don't
want
want
that.
that.
They
They
don't
don't
want
want
to
to
cause
cause
a
a
scene.
scene.
And
And
you know, I've been there. My oldest is from a previous relationship, and it got to the point where every time we were exchanging her, I mean, he would just always had a comment, always had to start talking shit, always just had to be mean and get really angry with me. So I started to feel unsafe, and we actually started exchanging her at a police department. That way, he had to be, he had no choice but to be on his best behavior. I'm not saying Steven was aggressive or abusive. I saw, found no evidence of that. But I understand I'm not wanting the drama. Being now a single mom is stressful enough, along with the stress of a divorce, along with just being a mom in general and having to continue life. She just started a floral business with her parents. I'm sure that could be stressful too, trying to get the ball rolling, trying to get on your feet. So I'm sure, I have no doubt that wanting to meet at Target to avoid any type of confrontation is just to avoid any more stress and drama. That sounds like there was plenty there. We don't need to fan the fire. Now, they
they
actually
actually
are
are
able
able
to
to
corroborate
corroborate
Steven's
Steven's
alibi.
alibi.
And
And
as
as
it
it
is,
is,
he is
he is
surprised
surprised
and
and
he
he
does
does
seem
seem
legitimately,
legitimately,
you know, concerned of what happened with Heather. So they aren't, it's just, you know, you have to look at the ex-husband. You always do. You have to look at the husband. You have to look at the spouse. If it's a man dead, you have to look at the wife. That's just how it is. If it is, if you don't want to be this way, stop killing each other. It's that simple. Just separate. Now, so they are, I'm sorry, Stephen does have an alibi. He says that once he dropped off Carson, he went and met his girlfriend, Stacy, at the at a car wash, and he even shows a receipt. And he says that that day, while his last day with his last visitation day with Carson, he says that he spent the day with his girlfriend Stacy and Carson at his mom's. You know, everybody's visiting, have a good time. His mom did leave about 15 minutes before Stephen left to go drop off Carson, but that's because she went to go visit her parents, who live in a different area, which is over 70 miles away, so it's quite a drive. She went to go visit her family. And again, she drops off Carson and meets his girlfriend at a car wash. Like, okay, all of this is corroborated. He shows a receipt of the car wash, which I'm assuming also the car wash probably has cameras, since we are in the millennia of technology. I don't know why y'all keep doing shit when there's fucking cameras anywhere. I
I
don't
don't
understand.
understand.
And,
And,
you
you
know,
know,
with
with
little
little
trackers
trackers
in
in
your
your
pockets,
pockets,
your
your
phones,
phones,
I
I
don't
don't
know
know
why
why
y'all
y'all
keep
keep
doing
doing
it.
it.
That's why I always laugh when they're like, the government's trying to put things in our bodies to track us. Really? Because we're already carrying them with us willingly. We're doing the work for them. But, you know, just don't do dumb shit. Or, like, at least not super foul shit. Anyway, so. They also question, you know, they question Stephen, but there is another man in the story. There is Heather's boyfriend, Michael Vicker. And he's questioned as well. He is visibly upset about the demise of Heather. He's very upset. He wanted to marry this woman. He had plans for them. He was very supportive of her being a mother. And, you know, he just wanted to bring light to her life. He has an alibi that he was working, and they actually call his boss right then and there, and his boss vouches for him, like, no, Michael was here. He was not away from work. So Mike was out. So, next thing you know, because of course you have to stay within the circle. You start off in the small circle around the person, then you grow wider. So as they're growing wider, they get to Stacy, Steven's girlfriend. And Stacy, girl, I'm not a fan. They talk to Stacy, and she corroborates everything Michael says about how they were together with Carson at his mother's house. She does say that his mother did leave a little bit before they left. And they left in two different directions. She said she headed to her mom's house while Stephen went to exchange Carson. But she also makes it very clear to the detectives questioning her that really she wasn't very keen on Stephen getting full custody. She just didn't like that. She wanted Stephen to herself. She didn't really want Carson around very often, which it's like, then don't date people with kids or caring people with kids. What are you doing? What a woman. Because that the way I see that when I hear that is, oh, okay, so you're rooting against him. You don't want him to win his case. That's great. Okay, let's go with that one, Stacy. Let's feel good about that. I'm going to put you on a red flag episode because no, ma'am. That's terrible. That's really bad. Like, really. So she makes it clear, like, nope, wasn't me. I don't want the little boy around us all the time. Like, great, okay. Noted. So she's cleared out. So they go back to the drawing board, of course. Why is this wavy? You see that? What did I do wrong? I don't know. I'm just going to keep going. You know, fake it till you make it. So they do eventually get the other camera footage from Target. And they're able to see, because this other camera actually shows another entrance. And they're hoping to maybe see, like, the shooter's car or something. Anything, really, that they can identify them with. They don't find anything. But they do see... they see them actually walk from behind the store to the parking lot. And again, yeah, it's this tiny person with this weird hair and a mustache. And they see, like, as soon as the murder's over, they are able to see them on camera walking right back out. But what they do notice about this person is not only a bad fake mustache, weird hair, and small stature of this man, but they also notice that they have a very particular walk. Not like some sort of limp or something. They have a very specific gait, as you would say. And that's noted as well. Now, they kind of, you know, run into roadblocks because Heather has no enemies. Nobody can think of why someone would want to hurt Heather. They have no idea. She kind of minds her own business. She doesn't start anything. She doesn't have any enemies. She's just trying to start a business and be a good mom. Commendable, of course. So the only thing that really anybody can think of as to why somebody would want her dead is because of Carson. It has to be someone who wants her out of the picture. That's the only thing that would make sense, again, because this was just so targeted in the middle of the day in the parking lot in front of a bunch of people. It was So, crime of passion is definitely ruled out, that's for sure. After the autopsy, also, it's revealed that it was a 38 caliber handgun that killed Heather. So they're trying to look into stuff like that too, and they just make a note of that. Like, okay, whoever we're looking for is going to have access to this or know someone with access to this. Now that they know more than likely Carson would be the target, or at least that's what their hunch would be, they get a call that really just, it's a very beneficial tip. A truck driver who was staying at a motel behind the target, actually, the day before, witnessed a white Ford F-150 parked behind the store and taking pictures of the Target parking lot, almost as if they wanted pictures of the area that they know that they park at to exchange Carson. Now, this man also says that they saw them with this weird wig and mustache. They actually, but the thing is, he saw them. He says that he sees them take pictures, and that this person taking the pictures has weird black hair and a fake mustache on. But he also says that he can most definitely identify this truck. See, he's a truck driver himself. Literally, all he sees is landing cars. And, an Ford F-150, I'm assuming this Georgia, since it's the South, it's like here, everybody has a truck here. Everybody. I mean, we don't, but that's literally probably the next vehicle. If we buy another vehicle, it's probably going to be a truck. I want a truck. So, Ford F-150, a very, very common truck. But he noticed that with this truck, it had very distinct black trim on it. And he is certain that he can identify this truck should he see it again. Lo and behold, the detectives, when they went and questioned Steven's mom, Joanna Hayes, which I totally forgot to mention now that I think about it, we'll go over that though. They go and they realize that when they went and talked to Joanna Hayes, she had a white Ford F-150 parked in front of her house. So, interesting. The plot deepens. Now, they had questioned Joanna also. Joanna, again, gives the same spiel as Stephen and Stacy that they were at her house. And she says that she left to go visit her parents. Again, they live over 70 miles away. And while she was out there, she went to Wendy's to get a Frosty. And she, sorry, I don't know why. I just realized for some reason when I was saying Frosty, or when I was reading this, they were saying Frosty, and I kept thinking of a fucking Slurpee for some reason. So this time when I said it, I pictured, that little curly thing on the ice cream, like in the commercials and in the advertisements. And I was like, oh, Frosty. I don't know why I was thinking of a Slurpee. Or one of those other ones, slush puppies or something. I don't know. I was thinking something like that. I don't know what's wrong with me. Sorry. So, but yeah, she went to Wendy's to get a Frosty. And she gives them a receipt that has a time like 7:19, something like that. And she tells them that, she was way over there. There was no way that she could have shot Heather at 6 o'clock in the evening and been all the way over there out of Wendy's within an hour after visiting her parents, that like the window just wouldn't add up. But it's like, girl, that's like an hour window, over an hour. Like, you need to judge your time better. I don't know. When I read that, I was like, I don't know. Like, most of the women I know drive fucking fast. I guess that's why when I heard that, I was like, you could get there. I don't know what traffic's like there, but just how I've seen women drive here. I don't drive fast anymore, but young Shelby, you could do it. So they take this truck driver and drive him past Joanna's house, And they point out the truck, and he's like, yeah, that's it. It's it. That's the truck that I saw that person in. And they're like, great. Okay. So instead of taking this straight to Joanna, though, they take this to Steven. They bring Steven back in. And they're talking to Steven, and they're basically telling him, like, I need you to really look at this composite and tell me if this looks like anybody. And they tell him, somebody's actually identified your mother's truck. They saw your mother's truck the day before. And even at that, they also had noticed when they questioned Joanna that Joanna also has a very particular walk. She too has this kind of limp about her. And she's a very small woman. So as they're talking to Steven, he's looking at the composite and he too has this understanding that it's not an exact match. You're not looking for someone whose face is exactly like the drawing, but you do want similarities. And he notices in particular the nose. The nose is very exact to his mother's. And he starts to kind of, they show him the footage they have of the suspect walking back to the car, well, both arriving and walking back. And you can see him getting visibly more upset because he recognizes the walk. And he's starting to see that this could have been his mother's doing. And they ask him basically, and he at one point he even says in this interview, that explains why she called me and told me that I need to go get Carson. That's very odd for her to know. That's very odd. Something happens to Heather and the police don't call and say, like, hey, I think your ex-wife's here or your wife's here, because they're still married at this time. They're just separated, going through the divorce. That's not how he finds out or anything. No, his mom calls and says, you need to go get Carson. That's very intriguing and very suspicious. So he's starting to, see the writing on the walls of what possibly happened, or most definitely at this point, we're getting closer and closer to this is what's happened. And he agrees to call his mom and ask her with the detectives present. He puts her on speaker and calls her. And he tells her, like, he asks her if she was the one who killed Heather. And she's like, no, of course not. And he tells her about how they showed him the footage and it walks like her. And that the composite has her nose. And you can tell that when he tells her this, she's not concerned, like, honey, I would never do this, no, or anything like this. Instead, she's kind of pissed. So what, you tell the cops? You told that to them already? Like, it hurt. It changes. The tone and the demeanor just switches. It just flips right over. So with that, they let Steven go, and then they arrive at Joanna's house. They want to question her, and they actually seize the truck for to search it and have forensics check it. So in the truck, they don't really find much. They really don't find anything, but they do find this black fiber, just one little strand of it, one black fiber. And they look into the material of it, and the material is something used for rope. That's what they used, but however, it's never been woven into rope. And when it's like that, turns out that this material is used for wigs. So now they're very curious. And while this is going on, they take that, and now they have that on her. Back in the precinct where they're questioning Joanna. Joanna's a feisty woman. I don't know what it is with small women. I swear to God, they're always the fucking meanest. They're so mean. They're vicious little ladies. I say this with my sister being one of them. That girl's tiny, but god damn, she's mean. She's
That girl, man, I love my sister, but she fucking terrifies me sometimes. Like, if that's funny, is the thing is, like, people think I'm the mean one when I'm just a little bit more vocal about it because I'm like, I don't want to be around people. Leave me alone. Fuck off. Her, she's like, more like, just give me an opportunity and I'll wreck your life. And then she'll be like, this is your fault. She's scary. And Joanna's, yeah, that woman's fucking feisty and she's most definitely a mean old bitch, that's for sure. So they're talking to her and telling her all this stuff. And you know that bitchy thing that girls, like especially high school girls, do where they're interested in a guy, but he's unavailable. So they'll say something like bitchy, like, so where's your little girlfriend? She kind of does that to the detectives. Yeah, with your little evidence or with your little case. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? She's just so aggressive and so feisty. And the thing is, they aren't even questioning her with that kind of energy. They're really just asking her questions. And she's just coming out with this very venomous response, which it's like, okay, like, tone it down. Most definitely not matching energies. And they end up letting her leave. They're all like, okay, whatever, bye. But while they're questioning her, before she leaves, they ask her, like, do you have any guns? And she says, no, she doesn't have any guns. She used to with her ex-husband, but her ex-husband kept it. And they're like, okay, cool. Well, then they go and talk to her ex-husband. And her ex-husband says that he bought her a 38 caliber handgun once when they were married as a gift. And that with this same gun, when he told her he was leaving her, she pulled the gun on him and started threatening him. And officers are like, well, that's good to know, isn't it? So, with all this in mind, they have the hair from the wig. They have, now knowing that she owned a 38 caliber gun, which is what killed Heather, and they also have the match in gait, like the way they walk. But, and then there's another thing that comes up. Remember, she had that hour window that she says that she wouldn't have been able to do what happened to Heather and make it all the way over there within that time frame. So officers detect. Officers test this theory. They do that trip. And they do it multiple times and come to find that you most definitely can fit all of that within that window. She had plenty of time because remember, she also left 15 minutes early before Stephen had to leave before he met up with her to exchange Carson. So, with all of this now in mind, they go ahead and make an arrest. On October 29th of 2009, Joanna is arrested and charged with murder as well as some other charges. I believe one's felony with a gun or something like that, with a handgun. So, they go to trial, and as it is, during this trial, suddenly Stephen backtracks and he tries to say that he doesn't believe his mother could do this. He believes she's innocent. He starts trying to fight for her, and then they basically replay him everything they showed him before and his responses. And they're like, you saw it yourself. Now you're saying you don't. Like, we get it's a hard pill to swallow, but you can never really 100% know anybody. And that's the scary part about life, and I think that's what makes so many people so interested in true crime, right? It's that most unsuspecting people, or you think you know someone, things like that, and then you see these crazy things that people are capable of, and it just blows you out of the water every time. So Steven, it's like, okay, Steven, we get you want mommy to be not guilty, but you need to sit down because everything's pointing to her at this point. During the trial, Joanna does plead not guilty, but she is actually found guilty in May
of 2011, she's found guilty and sentenced to life in prison with 30 years. No, sorry. Yes, with 30 years time served before parole is considered. So, Heather's family gets justice in this case. But I mean, the real loss is for Carson. Carson, he ends up living with his grandparents, with Heather's parents. They have custody of Carson. From what I saw, his dad is involved. Steven does come around. He sees his son. He seems to love his son. I'm very curious as to how that happened, though. Do you deny the father custody because of what his mother did? You don't know what everybody else surrounding him is capable of. They know for a fact Stephen was not involved in this murder. He had nothing to do with it. This was all Joanna's doing. It's, you say, the mother's love for her son. This wasn't even a request for her son. So I don't even believe it's that. I believe it's just his mom's possessiveness and just wanting Heather out of the picture. And if her son wanted custody, well, I'm going to get you for that, even if you didn't ask me. All right, Joanna, calm your ass down. Now look where everything is. But, that's the real victim here. It's poor Carson. He seems like, from what I've seen, he seems to be a happy kid. I think the best thing about this is, and I say this and then I don't, because it's a very, you can say, like, oh, thank God that he has no memory of this because his mother was murdered in front of him. Like, and that's like the even worse part is, like, Joanna, you killed your grandson's mother right in front of him. Like, yikes, lady. No, bad. Very, very bad. But then you get sad because Carson has no memory of his mother, which means all he's gonna have is wonder and assumptions and questions. He has to live memories of his mother through other people. So it's like the love of your own son and sacrifice for your grandson too, because that's what you did. You didn't just get rid of his mother-in-law, you got rid of half of your grandson. You have literally broke him in half as a person because he's only going to know one part. And everything else he never gets to live, he only gets to hear. And that's the sad part. That's the tragedy that you've done. So, I just want to say, go to hell, Joanna, because that's fucking awful. People don't think, apparently, like nobody thinks about consequence anymore. And I think she really thought that she was smarter than detectives. Like, nobody would ever suspect me, no. But, I mean, they found you. Fairly quickly, I might add. You were definitely not some genius master of murder, that's for sure. And we thank you for that. Yeah, I'm sorry if I told this story kind of weird. I don't know. I feel like this, I want to, I don't know. A lot's been changing, so I feel kind of like, ugh, like out of it. But, I only got this far. I will be posting how it's going, where it's going, how it ends. But yeah, if you enjoyed this, like, subscribe, share, please help us grow. Well, help me grow. I do all this by myself. So if it's not like super great in quality in certain areas, I'm learning. I'm doing all this myself on my spare time. So I just want to thank those of you who have watched and who those who like keep up with what I do. I appreciate y'all. I really do. And I wish y'all the best and don't be a shitty person. And I'll catch you on the next one. Okay, bye.